Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Mike Camoin, and he has some friends with him. And Mike is going to be talking about his film lab in Albany. So, Mike, how are you?
Cynthia, I'm fine. Thanks for having us on.
So introduce your friends and tell us a little bit about the film lab.
Sure. I have Rich Rosenweg on with me. He's a filmmaker, screenwriter, and his project, Hell's Acres, is going to be participating in our fourth edition of the Northeast Filmmakers Lab, which takes place November 9th through the 12th. And it's here in the Capital Region, and it opens with a screening of the picture called As You Are, which is a Sundance 2016 award-winning film. And then on Friday, filmmakers like Rich are going to be presenting their projects to a group of industry experts who will offer them feedback to help them advance their projects. And throughout, we'll have film talks where we drill down on the nuts and bolts and sort of the peel back the curtain of the sometimes mysterious process of making a short film, a feature, or a documentary.
Okay.
Tom Mercer is also here. You want to introduce me?
Yeah, sure. Tom, welcome aboard. Let me just Tom, let's start with you, and then we'll go to Rich. Tom, I'm going to have you introduce yourself, and you're participating in the Filmmakers Lab as well. Tell us about your project, if you can, and the usual brief elevator pitch.
Hello. I'm returning to the Filmmakers Lab. I found it to be one of the most helpful, intensive that a filmmaker can go to. My project is Benedict Arnold's Hero Betrayed, and it is a documentary about the heroic achievements of the otherwise notoriously known traitor, Benedict Arnold, and we rehabilitate his reputation and educate the viewers as to his tremendous contribution to our independence as a nation. So it'll be a two-hour documentary, and it's in post-production. I hope that the lab will help move us closer to completion.
Okay.
So Cynthia, Tom's one of our Northeast filmmakers who, like many others, have been working on these projects, and you know, you read about them, you hear about them, and say, well, it took 10 years, took 20 years, took 30 years to make this film. And Tom and the team of producers are working with, you know, historic subject matter that's, as Tom has mentioned, has taken years to produce, and it's getting real close to finishing. And the lab is glad to have Tom come back with the project. And as he mentioned, inch it closer to completion. So there, at one point, what the lab tries to do is help filmmakers also think about their audience in advance of while they're in the middle of the process. Rich, on the other hand, is at the script stage, has made a short, and is sort of just venturing out into it. At least he's going to find out that he's at the very beginning of a long road of seeing something that will eventually, hopefully, reach, you know, a very wide audience. Rich, could you say a few words about your project?
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Cynthia. Hi, Tom. Hi, Mike. My project is a feature film that coincidentally also happens to be based on history, although it's not a documentary. It's called Hell's Acres, and it's an adaptation of a cult novel that was written in the 1930s. But what it deals with are true events that happened in a little tiny village in Columbia County, and where I have a house, and the town is called Boston Corners, and it's kind of revealing a dirty little secret about this town when it once was a no man's land in the early 1800s. And for a brief period, because of a mistake of geography, it was part of Massachusetts and eventually became part of New York State. But for a couple of years, while waiting to be annexed to New York State, it happens to be right at the foot of the Taconic Mountains. It was, like I said, a no man's land where criminals and thugs and murderers hung out. And once the train from New York City was built and came through this town, they decided to have the first heavyweight boxing championship match there. And a really colorful story has been written about capturing horse thieves in this town in the 1850s during the boxing match, which is well documented. And when I discovered the novel, it just sort of was screaming to be made into a screenplay. And I've been working on this apropos of what the guys were talking about for many years. And it's a tough sell when you're one of your screenplays, if you're not already well dug into the business, it's tough to, particularly tough to sell it if it's a historical drama that would require a larger budget. But I'm really excited that the folks at this workshop might help me get some good advice. I mean, I have been reaching out to some actors, and as he mentioned, I did produce a short film to help market it, but to speak to people who are in the industry who might have some directions they can point me in to get this out there would be extremely helpful.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to take it from there, but...
So, Mike, how many people do you expect to come to your event?
Well, the lab model is really, it's a very small model where we choose each year 6 to 12 projects to focus on. And this year we have about 7 new projects, and we have filmmakers like Tom and others who are alumni returning. So we're still sticking within sort of that 12-project model.
Okay.
Outside of that, we'll have a number of industry experts who will be there to mentor our filmmakers in a group setting and one-on-one sessions. So they're getting individual feedback as well as sort of a group, what do they call those, a mind or a think tank. People will be thinking about, and I've already begun thinking about their projects. It's really helpful, supportive setting. Now, for those listening, general enthusiasts are able to come in and, you know, if they're part of the all-access tickets, they'll be privy to these conversations. And there's a lot of filmmakers out there who are working on a project or thinking about it or always wanted to get into the motion pictures or have a story idea. Maybe have even written an unpublished novel that they want to convert to a screenplay. These are all folks that would find the Filmmakers Lab fascinating, and they'll have direct access, and then they can mingle at the mixers with all the filmmakers and industry experts. Throughout the 4 days, it's probably the best price in town in the industry where you're going to get this type of level of access and information.
Now, how
college
many years
would
have you
also
been,
find this helpful?
How many years have you been doing this?
Well, filmmaking in general, Tom Mercer and I founded Upstate Independence over 22 years ago. In terms of the Filmmakers Lab, this is our fourth edition, and I started it after being invited overseas to Russia, of all places, where I participated in an 8-day producer's lab and was introduced to the Eastern European and European markets and discovered this lab model, which is very much sort of built upon the salon-based models of Europe, where, you know, you bring artists together, and that's what's and they share a lot, and then the industry experts share, and everybody sort of pulls each other up. And anybody that knows anything about filmmaking knows just how challenging it is to complete a work. And that's what the lab is there to do, is to support filmmakers and advance their project that they're working on.
Okay. So when you first started it, what was your goal when you first started? When you said 4 years ago or 5 years, I'm going to do this, what was your initial goal in creating this?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I learned while I was overseas was that they have this interesting state-funded model where they are doing things like this. They are putting filmmakers together. The filmmakers are then helping each other. And then they're also bringing in other industry experts, and they're getting projects funded and working. It helps their economy. The challenge that they had was in getting their movies to travel. I thought it would be good for us here in America if we could learn some from that model. And in years past, we've brought filmmakers from Eastern Europe and other parts to share their process and their style of storytelling. And it was mutually beneficial. So the initial goal was to create this dynamic cross-cultural exchange through film, which is taking place. The other thing we wanted to do is really help local filmmakers here in the Northeast. There's so many, say, incomplete, unfunded, unfinished projects, really great stories. And here's two of them. They're from the area, and let's not just be importing content. Let's be exporting content from the capital region. There's no better place in the whole United States where we have untapped historical stories that need to be told. We've got a number of universities here with young people, young minds who are innovative and our next generation of storytellers. They just need the right tools and be put in front of the right people.
And
so that's part of.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, actually, I was going to add that though I spend half my time in New York City and I do a lot of stuff there with trying to promote my scripts, when I discovered the pool of talent in the Capital Region, not only was I able in previous years to work on the scripts with a screenwriting group, and we would have readings, but then when it came time to produce this film short, I was already familiar with some of the actors in the area and cinematographers, one being John Romeo, who's a fine actor and cinematographer. And it was really exciting to be able to produce this film short out of the Albany area. And it especially means a lot because the story itself takes place in this area. But to be able to produce something like this that I'm happy to be showing around with people who live in the area and who are all part of the Upstate Independence Organization and other filmmaking groups was particularly exciting.
So, Tom, how far from completion are you with your Benedict Arnold movie?
It's in rough cut edit form, and then after that, we'll need to finalize some really exciting special effects as we recreate some spectacular battle scenes and make them photorealistic. Uh-huh. And then there's a lot of kind of small details like sound design and narration that needs to be added in. But if things go well, we're only months away from completing it. But it's a very uncertain business, and there are technical pitfalls as well as the other obvious financial pitfalls that producers run into when they're trying to operate in an independent film world. I wanted to just emphasize one thing that Mike touched on, and that is the value of checking this out if you're just interested in film but not a filmmaker. There is a public aspect to this that is really a rare opportunity. Outside of Los Angeles or New York, you're not going to find an opportunity to really have a peek at what goes into making movies. So if you're a film aficionado and you enjoy movies and wonder what it takes to make one, or maybe have toyed with the idea of making one yourself, this is a really fantastic opportunity to get a look behind the curtain a little bit. And it for the value, price for the value, you won't find anything like this even embedded in some of the larger film festivals. It's really the thing to do if you have any interest at all in how this industry works and what makes filmmakers tick.
Now, Mike, this concept that you've created and you've done for the past 4 years, has other people in other parts of the country looked at what you've done and say, I want to do this also?
Well, I think so. I think, one is the Lake Placid Film Forum has reached out to us and said, geez, what you guys put together is really, really cool and really useful. Would you come up and speak to our, at our film festival? And so we, a number of our the staff and our filmmakers. So, for example, in June, Dmitry Perkalov from Moscow flew in, and he presented, and I presented, and Larry Jackson, who's on our board, all presented at different forums up there at Lake Placid this past June. I've noticed that even a filmmaker right in Albany near you, Cynthia Balanchushek, the Youth Effects Project, has started their own lab for youth documentary filmmakers.
Cool.
So the lab model, the lab model is growing. It's small, but it's really what's required because, again, we, you know, this is all, for the most part, privately funded. We do have public partners, but it takes a community, you know, to support filmmakers, and it's certainly worthwhile for those interested in trying to make, you know, the capital region hip and creative. You know, everybody has a film festival these days, but as one of our filmmakers says, that can be a really intensive time for filmmakers, and they don't have time to network. It's very much, you know, they're focused on their film, but not on their next project. And this is a time, you know, that's conducive to cultivating that next project and giving yourself time to think about, well, what is it that I need to be doing? Like audience, focusing on audience. Who is the audience for my film? Geez, I better think about that. Because distributors really want to know what you think, who you think the audience is, because they're not going to step into distributing your film. And we're going to break it down. You know, that we're going to have the screening of As You Are, the fiction feature film that was shot in Albany that goes on and garners a special jury prize at Sundance in 2016. They get this wonderful award, but they leave the festival without a distribution deal. And so Joe Mastantonio is going to talk, particularly we're going to drill down on that topic after the screening, the next day in the film talks. We're going to be talking about how did that happen? Here you got the golden prize. You got the Sundance premiere. You got the jury award, but you leave without a distribution deal. More often than not, that's the case. And so filmmakers have to be thinking about that other piece of distribution. Otherwise, they're not going to get their next project funded. It's something that filmmakers have to be thinking about.
And
if they
want
to continue.
And there's so much new in the world of distribution, and I'm sure we'll be learning about the new ins and outs of the distribution models that are now emerging on the internet.
Absolutely, so, Tom. And if I could just promote, Cynthia, that Alan Chu and Matt Levy of Passion River Films will be up. Now, these two guys run their company, distribution company, and they hit all the markets and the film festivals. They're in Toronto. They're in Cannes. They're in Japan. They're in South by Southwest. And they're going to be here in Albany. And they're going to be giving filmmakers advice about what to be thinking about before they complete their project. And they're on top of the things like people who crunch data and statistics about why they would want to acquire and distribute someone's film. And these are things that filmmakers can help themselves by learning how to speak that language that makes their project more attractive to a distributor. And as Tom mentioned, these online digital platforms, it's a changing media landscape, and it's changing right in front of us. And the studios don't have an answer. The independents usually are the ones who come up with the answer. And then the studios go and harness, you know, their corporate dollars behind it. And but it's usually the independents that come up with the solution first.
So, Mike, our friend Alan Collins is coming up. Will you guys and myself be pitching the movie? What do you think Alan's role is going to be when he comes here?
Well, I'm really excited. Scared to Debt, the America Student Loan Scam, is a documentary in progress that, as an alumni, I'd like to have it presented on Friday to our industry experts like Tom and Rich will, and get feedback on the best way to strategize and develop this story further. Alan's role to be firsthand present is to be able to learn more, because he's in the middle. If folks don't know, Alan will be soon. Look for the next Rolling Stone issue. He's out there debunking and wrote the book, The Student Loan Scam, that sort of broke open what is happening in higher education and why college is so expensive and how Congress has removed consumer protections uniquely, which is a constitutional right. They remove consumer protections from this, and it's been an uphill battle, and we've seen this now. This is the next financial bubble that's going to burst. So the timing of having Alan come up, be able to participate in the lab, and to be able to think about his goals, there's nothing better than telling a good story to inform people. And again, I keep going back to this, but to inform a wide audience as possible about this. And often stories go about and create change. So whether it's legislative change or whether it's steering people's attention to it, that's the power that media can have. And to have you be a part of that, I think it's going to be, because you're getting into this now for the first time, you're going to learn a lot about how and why movies have to be thoughtfully made. Rushing into it and then coming out with something that doesn't reach an audience and sits in a corner is not the funnest thing.
So if anybody listening to this who has an interest in movies or just has an interest in watching what's going on in the industry, how can they participate?
Well, they can participate by showing up. They can come to the screenings. They can visit our website, cinemaexchange.org. Tickets are available. I have to say that tickets to some of these presentations, like the screening of Ice Eagles, a documentary about the exploration of Antarctica, which will screen Friday night, has a very limited seating over at Overit Media. There's something like 80 seats available, and so there's only half of them that are remaining. So they should go online and secure their reservations now. There's wonderful opportunities for them to mix and mingle. There's mixers every day. An all-access pass gets you into everything. So you get the screenings, the mixers, you get all the film talks. And if you happen to be fortunate to be, part of the lab, then you're also going to get those one-on-one sessions. Now, folks who want to talk to the industry experts, not part of the lab, they can connect with people at the industry mixers and throughout just by showing up. So it's well worth it.
Okay, great. So
would you like me to share a little bit more? Okay,
of course.
So it kicks off Thursday night, November 9th. We have the screening of As You Are at the Linda. Friday, we are at the New York State Museum. Doors open at 9:30. We have a film talk on story or audience, which comes first. The public can also attend and explore the world's largest collection of motion picture scripts after that talk on the 11th floor. That's fascinating. People don't realize what our State Museum and the people at the Archives Partnership Trust have held on to, the world's largest collection of motion picture scripts. In the afternoon, we have Movie Budgeting, the Art and Craft of Putting Fuel in Your Vision. This is hosted by Norman Burns, and we'll have other filmmakers join him to add some color commentary to, the nuts and bolts of where to allocate your dollars. A lot of it, we're hearing, is it should be allocated towards marketing your film. There's a industry mixer over it. Then we move into a discussion, a film talk on post-production. Then a sneak preview of Ice Eagles, as I mentioned. And then the last day, Saturday, over at Proctor's in Schenectady, we'll talk about financing your vision, where to look for the dough. Film talk 5 is with Passion River Films, distribution and promotion. Why is Facebook a real player? And that's, we're going to get into and hear about social media and the power of that platform. Then we have an industry mixer at Schenectady before the final screening, which is a series of short films from near and far. And you'll be meeting a number of filmmakers, some of whom have reached out and said, hey, I want to come. So when I say they want to come, they're going to be flying in from California and all over so that they can, engage with an audience and be there with their short film. So this is a great opportunity, I think, for a nice mix of from young filmmakers, college students, to veterans who are, just looking to stay fresh in their craft.
Great. So I hope to see everybody the weekend after the election. So, Mike, thank you for coming on. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Tom. You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. And most important, if you are in the Albany area, in the city, please listen to WCAA 107.3 on your dial. WCAA stands for Community Arts and Activism. And Mike, you might want to be interested in plugging into the volunteers that are there and maybe become part of the radio. We'll see you.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
We'll see you the weekend after the election, and have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Rick. And
thank
we'll
you,
talk
Cynthia.
Again later. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.